Listen to that music. That's incredible music, I think. Sort of minimalism and maximalism at the same time, if that's possible. It seems like there's very little going on, but there's so much happening. All those textures, those little runs, that papery, whispery sound in the background. Wonderful music by Helmut Lachenmann. We heard part of his second string quartet called Reigenseliger Geister, or Dance of the Blessed Spirits. Great performance by the Jack Quartet. Welcome to Relevant Tones. I'm Seth Bosted, and I'm holding this disc in my hand by the Jack Quartet, Helmut Lachenmann, the Complete String Quartets. And what a wonderful CD it is. As soon as it came in the mail, I popped it right in and gave it a listen. Gave it several listens, actually, because I think it's an incredible disc. And high time that Lachenmann got this expert treatment by the Jack Quartet, who really dug into these quartets. This music is incredible. He has a very specific idea for what he wants, and they're very well notated. Every little thing that you hear is exactly notated the way that he wants. What are we hearing in these quartets? We're hearing all kinds of little percussive sounds. We're hearing, like I described it in the beginning, a whispery, papery kind of rustling sound, the bow just kind of going very lightly across the string with a lot of the hair of the bow in there to get that sound. We're hearing these little, what I call episodes. It's episodic music. It's not developmental. We're not going to hear a melody. We're not going to hear harmony. We're not going to hear traditional musical development. But instead, we have these ambient sounds, and over the top of those, we have these little episodes. This is an example of what Lachenmann called musique concrète instrumentale, which is actually an instrumental rendering of musique concrète, or concrete music, which is not music you would build a sidewalk out of, but is referring to the term musique concrète, which is found sounds, as opposed to music you write that's meant to be performed. I'm going to read this quote from Lachenmann that I think explains it better than I could. Musique concrète, in which the sound events are chosen and organized so that the manner in which they are generated is at least as important as the resultant acoustic qualities themselves. Consequently, those qualities, such as timbre, volume, etc., do not produce sounds for their own sake, but describe or denote the concrete situation. Listening, you hear the conditions under which a sound or noise action is carried out. You hear what materials and energies are involved, and what resistance is encountered. So he's saying there that the act of creating the music and using the found sounds become the piece is every bit as important as the concrete situation of listening. Lachenmann has translated that to an acoustic ensemble. Let's hear more of this wonderful music by Lachenmann. We're going to go to the first quartet, Grand Torso. All of these quartets are in one movement, and all of them are rather long, so unfortunately we will not be able to play the whole thing. But let's have a listen to as much as we can get in of this marvelous performance by the Jack Quartet. String Quartet No. 1, Grand Torso, music by Helmut Lachenmann.
Thank you.
More of this intricate, incredible music by Helmut Lachenmann. We heard as much as we could fit in of his first string quartet, Grand Torso, in an absolutely committed performance by Jack Quartet. I can only imagine that they spent an incredible amount of time interpreting his score. And, you know, I come out of the music and I call it music, and maybe as you're listening to it, especially if you just tuned in, you're wondering what the heck this is it even music? And, you know, that's an argument that I think Lachenmann would love to have with you and a lot of composers in a very genial and spirited fashion. Really, ever since the 1930s and 1940s, we have been redefining what is music, and especially in the 50s when Cage really blew it away and said that any sound can be music. And, you know, I don't know if I totally agree with Cage and go as far as he went with it, but from the birth of recorded sound, as early as 1930, in fact, Stravinsky was saying, I think composers are going to definitely be writing specifically for the gramophone. And what he meant by that is that they would not only consider the acoustic environment when recording for playback on the gramophone for people, but they would also write sounds. They could use found sounds. Anything that you can record can now be played back on the gramophone, and ergo, the gramophone is sort of a de facto musical instrument itself. Lachenmann took it in an interesting direction by taking it back to the ensemble, though. He could have forged ahead in the electronic realm, but he thought to himself, no, I'm going to make musique concrète instrumentale, where he's taking what was originally an electronic idea and transferring it to acoustic instruments, and really saying that in a controlled environment, a series of what we would otherwise call noises is, in fact, music. And again, you can disagree with the philosophy, but it certainly makes a lot of sense when you know where it's all coming from. And at this point, there's really a legion of composers that have made a very convincing case that you know, the traditional ideas of music, structure and form, melody and harmony, are only one of the different ways that we can go. I also just like to sit and listen to it and imagine how the heck the quartet is making those sounds. I mean, some of those things are so wild. How are they bowing that? I mean, literally every way that you can play a string instrument, every possible way you can bow it, pluck it, brush against it, detune it, you name it, is being done here. And again, just don't want to beat this over your head, but is very tightly controlled by the composer. Let's return to the second string quartet of Lachenmann, with which I opened the program today. We're going to hear more of it now. It's called Reigenseliger Geister, or Dance of the Blessed Spirits, which is a reference to a very famous piece by Gluck from Orfeo. Here he's not quoting the music at all. I think he just liked the title. But, you know, it's really going to take on a very different connotation within the framework of musique concrète instrumentale. When I think of spirits now, with what we've been hearing, I think it's going to be more of an eerie kind of sound than the very lighthearted music that Gluck had in mind. Let's have a listen to the Jack Quartet again, another wonderful performance. What conviction they bring to this music. This is Reigenseliger Geister, the second string quartet by Helmut Lachenmann, and we're going to hear again as much as we can fit in. Thank you. Well, I don't know about you, but I find that music to be absolutely mesmerizing. And, you know, there's so many sound effects that when you hear pitch, it's really quite striking, whether it's very high or very, very low. There's one part where the cello came in, and I'm just thinking, you know, it sounds like a truck, or it sounds like something like that, an object. You don't even think of it as a musical instrument anymore. I think it's very, very striking. What a great performance by the Jack Quartet. That was Reigen-Seiliger Geister, or Dance of the Blessed Spirits, the second string quartet by Helmut Lachenmann. We're listening to a new disc by the Jack Quartet, the complete string quartets of Helmut Lachenmann. And what a great job they've done with this incredible music. This was really, really groundbreaking music in its time. And, you know, these quartets span a 30-year period. So I want to make it really clear that he worked very, very hard on these. These are all sounds that he wanted to bring out of his head into an acoustic environment, and something that he really thought was important. Well, as you can imagine, if you write music like that, you're probably going to get attacked by somebody. And sure enough, composer Hans Werner Henze called it musica negativa. So I just want to read a quote by Ian Pace that was in the Musical Times, where he says, "It's all too easy to dismiss the music of Lachenmann as musica negativa in the deprecatory manner that the term was used by Hans Werner Henze in his attack on this composer. What is at play is the fact that Lachenmann's music forces the listener to confront and question their ingrained expectations from and responses to music in an attempt to extend and further illuminate one's powers of perception. This is far from mere nihilism." I have to agree with that quote. I don't think that the composer is just making sounds to make sounds. I think that he's got a very specific idea. He worked very hard to do it, and even harder to do it with an acoustic ensemble. These are all sounds that he could readily have recorded and manipulated electronically, but that wasn't the point, you know? And you have to say that, I mean, wheeling a computer onto a stage and hitting play is not nihilistic per se, but it's not exactly engaging either. You know, here we have four musicians really, really, really committing to this music. I would love to see a performance of this live, because they clearly have taken a lot of time getting it exactly right. You're listening to Relevant Tones, a show featuring the music of contemporary composers. Today I'm featuring this new disc by the marvelous Jack Quartet, the complete string quartets of Helmut Lachenmann. Again, I think it's absolutely a wonderful addition to the canon of recorded music. You can find out more information about the show on Facebook or on our website at relevanttones.com. Well, I said earlier in the program that Stravinsky said as early as 1930 in an interview that, in his opinion, very soon composers would be writing for the gramophone. And I just wanted to clear that up a little bit. What I meant was that composers would not be using the actual sound of the needle on the record, but that they would be able to incorporate a lot of sounds that they couldn't do when music was only being realized in the concert hall. For example, you can't necessarily have rain in the concert hall, or back then you couldn't record it and have that in the concert hall, but you could have it on a gramophone recording. So it opens up all these new sounds for composers. And in fact, he was absolutely right, because in the 1940s, composers were creating what they were starting to call tape pieces, where they could manipulate found sounds. And they were thinking and saying that they now had a virtually limitless timbre palette of sounds. Any sound that a human being could record or think of could now be used in music. They were no longer restricted to acoustic instruments. That's musique concrète, and that is the exciting merger of music and technology that was happening in the 1940s and 1950s. Now, by 1970, this is all old hat, kind of, in a way, and what Lachenmann has decided to do is apply these principles of musique concrète to a physical ensemble. So now we're going to push. He still wants a limitless timbral palette. He still wants to have every sound that he can think of, but instead of doing it electronically, he wants to create it acoustically. However, it's still, I think, in its fullest realization in a recording and not in the concert hall, because there's so much amplification and manipulation of sound from the audio engineer's point of view. So I think, you know, when Jack Quartet goes into the studio to record this disc, in many ways they're going full circle back to the original ideas of musique concrète. And so what a marvelously successful disc. Let's return to music. Let's go back now to the third and final string quartet, Guido, music by Helmut Lachenmann.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Much more active music from Lachenmann. We're hearing music from the third string quartet, Guido, and another fine performance by the Jack Quartet. Well, if you heard the whole program today, you heard the first and second string quartets of Helmut Lachenmann, and I think you'd agree with me that the third string quartet is really different in many ways. Here, those episodes are happening much more quickly. There's less space in between them. Gone is the ambient, rustling sounds of the first and second quartet that I think are so important in the structure and the form and overall sound of those quartets. There's not as much silence here, so there's been a real clear development in the composer's thinking. And the third quartet is from 2000-2001. The first quartet is from 1972, so there's 30 years in between these quartets. And though he's definitely remained true to his idea of musique concrète instrumentale, he's changed his approach, and the sound world that results from that approach has changed also. I did a lot of research to try to find other composers that have embraced this idea, but, you know, Lachenmann is the only one, and he is the one who coined the term musique concrète instrumentale as well. And what an incredible idea this is, this idea that Lachenmann had of taking the virtually limitless palette of sounds that electronic music gave and gives composers and apply that to a finite instrument or ensemble like the string quartet. Perhaps it's a quixotic quest to try and find a limitless palette of sounds within a finite ensemble, but therein lies Lachenmann's inspiration. Relevant Tones is produced by Jesse McCorders at WFMT with special thanks to Steve Robinson and Tony Macaluso. This series is made possible by the generous support of Grosvenor Capital Management, the Aaron Copland Fund for Music, an anonymous donor, and the listener supporters of WFMT. I'm Seth Bosted, and this is the WFMT Radio Network.